This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we are coming to a close of the series of lectures on reflecting on the Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to follow his orders and to follow the hidayah and the guidance that he sent through his Habib Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in that and only in that is khair, only in that is blessing. Inshallah, from next week onwards, you are going to be seeing a series of lectures on of lectures of tafsir of the Quran, of all the surahs of the Quran, inshallah, in the order of revelation, not in the order of how it is written in the Quran, but in the order of revelation, which came first and then next and so on and so forth. And this series of tafsir lectures are lectures that are done by our Ustad, Dr. Muhammad Ali Hazrat Ji, Hafizahullah, Damat Barakatuhum. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to benefit from these beautiful lectures and to reward our Ustad for all the work of sharing his knowledge with us, alhamdulillah. In conclusion of what I have been talking to you over the last so many weeks, I want to reiterate and say again that there are two ways to guide anybody. One is to give the person a map and tell them to follow it. The danger with that is that the person may not understand the map completely and may misinterpret some directions, or may not be able to deal with unexpected situations that may arise during the journey. The person may have some questions about the map, but he can't talk to the map. They may still not reach their destination, even though they had a map. An absolutely surefire way of guiding anybody is to send someone who knows the way and say, follow him and you will be guided. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِعْهُ تَهْتَدُوا وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah jalla shanahu said, which means, say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if you turn away, he, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is only responsible for the duty placed on him, which is to convey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. And you are responsible for the duty placed on you, which is to obey and follow that message. Now, if you obey him, you will be on the right guidance. وَإِن تُطِعُهُ تَهْتَدُ وَإِن تُطِعُ تَهْتَدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned very clearly, وَإِن تُطِعُهُ تَهْتَدُ. If you obey him, you will be guided. If you don't obey him, you cannot be guided. The messenger's duty is only to convey the message in a clear way. Now ask yourself this question. So why didn't Allah simply say, if you obey Allah, you will be on the right guidance? At the end of the day, it is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not preaching anything on his own. He is not saying something that he is inventing. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very, very clearly. Where he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of his own will. He says only that which has been revealed to him, right? So, Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he could have simply said, obey Allah, but Allah did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we seem to think that the sunnah, that following the sunnah is left to our discretion, to follow or not as we wish. If that were the case, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu would not have said with respect to Rasulullah, if you obey him, you will be on the right guidance. Obedience to the Messenger وسلم, is a fundamental pillar of Islam. To obey Rasulullah and to follow his sunnah is fard, and we will be held accountable for it. It is essential for us to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ يُطِي الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the connection. He said, the one who obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has obeyed Allah. And why is that? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only conveys the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى He does not speak by himself of his own will and desire and wish. He only says what has been revealed to him. The importance of the Rasul alayhi salam, it is not my ability, I don't have the ability to truly convey how important it is. I'm trying to do it to the best of my ability. And let me emphasize that if you leave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hand, you will be completely and totally misguided. Seriously, my brothers and sisters, seriously understand this. See the mercy of people who understood this. There was a young Jewish boy who used to hang out, who used to be around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. Now one day, he didn't turn up for 2 or 3 days. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked people, he said, where is this boy? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he is very ill. He is critically ill and doesn't look like he will survive. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take me to him. So they took him to his house. He was lying on a bed and his father was standing on one side of the bed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went and sat down on the other side of the bed. He took the hand of the boy in his hands and he said to him, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلح. He said, say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and be successful. He's saying this to a Jewish boy who knew him, who used to hang out with him, who loved him, and he's saying it in front of his father in his house. The boy looked up at his father. The father said, obey Abu al-Qasim. That was the kunya of Rasulullah. The Jewish father said, obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The boy said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And he passed away with his hand in the hand of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He held the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause that hand hold to be firm and remain that way until that boy enters Jannatul Firdaus. The Nabi does not let go midway. We let go. Following the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ is the most important, the most critical thing that one can do. Nabi ﷺ said this. He said, a time will come when following my Sunnah will be more difficult than holding a live coal, a burning coal, piece of coal in your hand. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not put us in that situation. We are living in very easy times. Yes, there are difficulties, but there is nothing that is anywhere close to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described. Let us be very clear. We have an identity. We are Muslim. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslim. We are confident about that. We are proud of being Muslim. We would not give up our being Muslim for anything in the world, no matter what. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We invite others to Islam not because of any monetary gain or because we are going to getting some brownie points. We invite them to Islam because it is good for them. We invite them to something which we have chosen for ourselves. This is what is the work of the Anbiya. This was the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To reiterate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "May yuti rasula faqad ata Allah. Wa man tawalla fama arsalnaka alayhim hafiza." Allah said, "He who obeys the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has indeed obeyed Allah. And he who turns away, then we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a watcher over them." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get very upset when people did not listen to him. And you can understand why he got so upset. Because this is not an ego issue. It is not a matter of, you know, here is my argument and you follow me and you listen to me. No. To understand this, think about this, that if there is a house in which there is a gas leak and it is lethal, and there are people who are trying to rush into the house because it is their house and they want to take things from the house, and you've got a fireman or a fireman standing there trying to prevent them from going inside, but they refuse to listen to them. They're trying to fight them, they're trying to go get around them and somehow get into the house. And if some of them escape and go into the house, how bad would the firemen feel? Because the firemen know the reality of it. They know the danger of it. And they are standing there and preventing them from trying to get into the fire, get into the house, but these people don't understand the problem. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I feel like I am a man who lighted a fire and there are now insects who are coming in, attracted by the fire and falling into the fire, and I am standing there trying to prevent those insects from entering the fire and dying. The fire looks attractive, it looks very shiny in the night, and insects are attracted towards the light and they don't realize, and by the time they realize that this light is not just light, it is fire, it is heat, it will burn, it will kill, it is too late for them. They are already singed and they are already burnt. Their wings are gone and they will just fry in the fire. This is the nature of the world. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr." Allah said, verily, the whole world, Allah took an oath by time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that everybody, innal insana, all human beings are in loss. They are destroyed, they are destroying themselves. They are in loss. Except those who have iman, who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who do good deeds, and who invite towards the truth, and who invite towards, and who have sabr. When they invite towards the truth, the difficulties that they face, because they invite towards the truth, they are patient about that. They have sabr on those difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah promised them success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah has promised those among you who believe and do righteous deeds that He will certainly grant them succession to the present rulers in the earth as He granted to those before them, and that He will grant them the authority to practice their religion, that which He has chosen for them, which is Islam. And He will surely give them in exchange security after their fear, provided they worship Me and do not associate anything in worship with Me. But whoever disbelieved after this, they are the fasiqun. They are rebellious and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following his sunnah is not only to earn the akhirah, but also to earn power, authority, wealth and influence in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us this in the life of the Sahaba, where people who were nobody were given victory over the superpowers of the time, and for more than 1,000 years thereafter, the flag of Islam dominated the world. It was only when Muslims forgot the reason for their victory and allowed themselves to be corrupted and gave in to the same greed and chasing after the dunya that the rest of the world does, that the responsibility of Khilafah was taken away from them and they became enslaved. I remind myself that slavery is a state of the mind, not a state of physical confinement. A nation does not lose its glory and fall until it destroys itself from within. What do you say about a people who had the formula for success, who have the formula for success, but refuse to use it and go around searching for solutions in places where they don't exist? We live in a world that has lost the plot, a world that is full of self-created hardship, suffering, oppression and inequity, a world that refuses to recognize that it is the creator of its own state, that it is the architect of its own disaster and demise. Yet we, who have the solution, refuse to use it or to teach it to others. Now, brothers and sisters, seriously ask yourself this question, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. How on earth are we going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world with a job to do. The kalam of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu did not just come to be read for sawab, to be read and, you know, in a beautiful tone, to have Quran recitation competitions and give prizes to the person who recites the Quran the best. The Quran came as something to follow, as something to obey and follow, to get some results. Now, we lost this plot a long time ago. That's why sometimes, you know, when people introduce me and they say international speaker, I hate this term speaker. I literally hate this. I do not like to be introduced as a speaker. And if you reflect and if you go back in history, nobody used this term about any one of any significance. None of the Sahaba are referred to as speakers. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was a mujahid. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was a great khalifa. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was a great khalifa, one of the most phenomenal administrators that the world has ever seen. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was a great warrior and a man of enormous wisdom, and one of the best and most significant judges that the Islamic world or the world itself has ever seen. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was a man with a heart which was bigger than this world. A man who set up a trust which exists still today in his name in Saudi Arabia. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi was a great abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was known for his zuhud, for his asceticism, for how he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All people of significance were known for action. No one was ever talked about as a great speaker. Many of them were actually great speakers. They were great orators. But nobody talked to them, nobody talked about, and nobody mentioned them as orators. This is a modern thing that we have taken. Speaker. What's a speaker? What's the good of speaking? Is that going to get us anything in life or in the akhirah? Or is working going to get us something in the life and the akhirah? Let us focus on work. The Quran al-Kareem came for us as a instruction manual. And Rasulullah's life came as a demo for that instruction manual. To do something, the Quran came for us to study it, to practice it as demonstrated by Rasulullah, to get some results. What happened to this sequence? Read, practice, and results. What about the results? Who is looking for the results? Who is even asking about the results? Which we say so-and-so is a great hafiz of the Quran. So-and-so is a great reciter of the Quran. Qari of the Quran. How come we don't say so-and-so is a great, is a person who implements the Quran in his life and see where it has got him. See the results that he is producing in his life. In his business, in his administration, in his home, in outside the home, in his family, outside the family. That is what the Quran came for. Imagine if something comes, if you're given a formula to achieve something, and you spend all your time reading the formula, in reciting the formula, in debating about this formula, in having symposia about the mystical nature of this formula, but you are not getting any result from this formula. What good is that formula for you? That is what we have done with the Kalam of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. We are not using it for the purpose for which it was sent. It was sent to make us winners in this world. It was sent with instructions. It has instructions of how to run our own lives and how to run this world in a way which is supremely and beautifully beneficial for all concerned. That is there in the Quran. That is there in the seerah and sunnah of Rasulullah in his biography, in his life, in his teachings, which explain the Quran to us. To achieve something. What is that something? Success in this world and inshallah in the akhirah. But somewhere we seem to have lost that track. Many people come and ask me questions, you know, they ask me questions about Salah, for example. They ask me questions about which is a better way of doing it, and is this fard, is it not fard, and when does sajda sahu, and what should I do, and so on, so on, so on. Should I raise my hand, not raise my hands, rafaydain, no rafaydain? But how many people, I sometimes think, how many people ever ask me, how can I improve the quality of my salah? How can I get khushu in my salah? Because that's the only thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. The salah is for Allah. وَأَخِمِ السَّلَاةَ لِلْذِكْرِ Allah said, establish salah for my dhikr. And then about the mu'minun, the believers, Allah said, وَفِي سَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ And in their salah they have khashiyah. So if in their salah they have khashyatullah, we should ask, do I have khashyatullah in my salah? Do I have khushu in my salah? Yeah? Khashyun is people who have khushu. And khushu is with people who have khashyatullah. That's why I'm saying khashyatullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those who have khushu in their salah, we should focus, we should think about that. But we don't. Yeah? My brothers and sisters, seriously, I'm telling you, we are fast reaching a point of no return, if we haven't already got there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting pressure on us. Just look around yourself, see what is happening in the world. You know and I know that nothing happens without the will of Allah. Everything happens with the will of Allah. And what do you see happening? You see around the world, you see the Muslims under pressure. in different ways in different places. In Myanmar, in China, in Palestine, in India. In France, I mean, almost anywhere, there's some pressure of some kind. In some cases, it is extremely severe, literally a matter of life and death. In other places, it is not that severe, but still something which is uncomfortable, which is, you know, which is twisting the screws. Ask yourself, why is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala doing this? Why is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala putting this pressure? Why is Allah allowing this to happen? After all, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't join partners with Him. We are not worshipping other things. Then why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting us under this pressure? In my understanding, Wallahu alam, I'm not claiming to have some direct connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but my understanding is because we are not fulfilling the purpose of our creation. The purpose of our creation was to present Islam to the rest of the world. The purpose of our creation was to show the beauty of Islam to the whole world. The purpose of our creation was to lead the whole world into Jannah. We are not doing that. We are not doing that. We were supposed to be eagles, golden eagles, sent in order to teach others to fly. Instead of that, we became chickens, scratching in the dirt for worms, alongside other chickens. Now, what's the point of that? What is the point of that? If we are also going to get involved in the same rat race and do the same old dumb things that this world is doing, chasing money and chasing this and chasing that, ostentatious lifestyles, showing off to the world, then what good is it? How are we different from anybody else? Differentiation. I mean, I always, you know, I try to combine different branches of learning. And so I take my business degree and I try to understand Islam through the business degree. So I tell myself that in business we say that differentiation, this is my quote, I said differentiation creates brand. Brand creates loyalty, and loyalty enables influence. Brands are critical because if you go, for example, the simplest example I can give you, if you go to a store to buy toothpaste, you will not go and say, give me toothpaste. You will name the brand you use. Give me Colgate. Give me Pepsodent. Right? Give me Vajradanti. Give me Zindatil Ismat. Whatever, right? Whichever Farooqi tooth manjan, that black powdered charcoal thing. You will ask for the brand that you use. If you go to buy cars, you won't say, give me a car. There are cars and cars and cars. Each has a name. You go ask for that particular car. So what is our brand? Why is brand important? Because brand differentiates. Differentiation is what creates brand. Without differentiation, you are a grain of rice in a sack. You are nobody. But when you differentiate, you stand out on the basis of your qualities. And when you stand out, then you people will notice you. And if you now add value to people, those people will start following you. They become your base. They become loyal to you. And when they are loyal to you now, you can influence them. But all of that will happen only if you first differentiate. You have to stand out on the basis of something good. Ask yourself, what are we doing as Muslims? Ask yourself, what are you doing as an individual? How do you stand out? Seriously, let me tell you, if we are not standing out, then we are like any other mammal, any other animal. We eat, drink, make a few babies and die, and push up the grass. What good is a life like that? At least for me, it has no meaning. That kind of a life has, whether you lived or you didn't live, makes no difference. Allah sent us to do something, to show something to Him, Jalla Jalalu. And I want to end this series of reflect on the Quran with this. Reflect on the Quran. Ask yourself, what is this Kitab of Allah? Why did it come? What is my duty towards this Kitab of Allah? Am I fulfilling that duty? When I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks me this question and says, I sent you my book, did you fulfill your duty towards that book? What am I going to say? Let us be in a position where we can at least say, Ya Allah, I tried. I don't say we can say, yes, completely, I have fulfilled. You know, I am good. No. But at least we tried. In our way, whatever that way is, small though it may have been. But if we didn't try at all, if we got sidetracked somewhere, and we use this book now as a tabarruk, as some kind of barakah we keep in the house somewhere on top, or just recite it, minimum requirement. You know how many times we tell people to encourage them. Read at least 3 ayat of the Quran. Read at least half a page. Read at least 1 page. Just ask yourself the simple question, will you say that about anything else or any other book? If your children are studying in school or you are studying somewhere or whatever, will you say that about any other book? Just read half a page, read 3 lines. What kind of a joke is this? But we say this without any shame whatsoever about the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, we seriously, seriously need to wake up. Let us wake up before we are woken up. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the noor of His deen and the noor of His hidayah and to the hubb and muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live according to His kitab in the way of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that our lives become beacons of guidance for whoever comes in contact with us. And that when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will have some excuse to beg Him for His mercy and for His forgiveness. Allahumma innaka afuun kareem tuhibbul afu fa'fu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'fu anna. O Allah, You are the one who forgives, You love to forgive, so forgive us. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.